begin this evening to the sixth or seventh chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16, I believe it is. Verse 16. Well, we went at great length this morning on this and try not to cover the same ground again, but there is a few things that I want to point out to you and say to you in regard to what's said here. This is not a parable. There's many parables in the New Testament, parables in the Old Testament as well. A parable is something that could be or could not be, is or is not. But this is not a parable. The, shall we say, simple story of what transpired in the old world. It's fact. It's fact. A whole lot of difference between the fact and the parable. This is a fact. This actually, literally happened. That is, all flesh had become so bad it couldn't become worse. The leaven had become or had worked and had filled the mass. And there was nothing left for God to do but to destroy all the population of this earth. The evil had reached its climax, and therefore there was nothing left for God to do but to destroy it absolutely and totally. That's how bad it was. Couldn't get any worse. Now that's the way I understand this to read. It was so bad it couldn't, it just, the whole earth was filled with violence. It says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It was a continual thing. It wasn't just that men would take a recess from it, but it was a perpetual thing with them. It was so bad that God said to himself, I'm sorry I even made these creatures. They grieve me in my heart, and I'll destroy them. And he goes on. And that 11th verse of the 6th chapter said, and the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Now listen to this. For all flesh, not some flesh, but all flesh, had done what? Had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Not the end of some flesh has come before me, but the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence. And through the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from the face of the earth. Bad. Men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are bad. Bad. We live in a wicked world made up of wicked people that have no concept of the truth, have no understanding, or don't have the vaguest or faintest idea of how bad they are. If men would realize or could realize, I know they can't realize apart, as Darrell prayed, apart from revelation. If man could ever be made to see his awful state in the sight of God, just how God sees him. This is how God sees him. That's the reason it says that God's angry with the wicked every day. That's the reason it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They could see that. Man could see it. Thank God, God enabled me to see my own heart one day. ought to be ever before Him in praise and thanksgiving that God opened my eyes to see myself, to see my heart, to see my nature, to see what it was, that I was a sinner before God, a violent, wicked sinner before God. And when that revelation came, God just did not leave me there, but He revealed unto my heart who He was. And when I found out who I was, and when I found out who He was, then I found out that He provided a way, that He built an ark, that He sent His Son to take upon Himself that which was my due. You see, where the revelation of what you are and the revelation of what He is meets, salvation is the end result, Bob. That's the end result. The revelation of what you are and the revelation of what He is. And the revelation of what He is seen here in the book of Genesis. When it says that God came down, Adam had transgressed. Adam had violated. Adam had sinned against God. And God came down. And it says this about God. This reveals who God is and what God is. This reveals the heart of God. And God said, Adam, where art thou? What does that say? That says that God came down to seek and to find Adam. Adam did not seek to find God. He hid from God. But God came down. When we can find out who we are and who He is, find out that we're so wicked and so bad, so hopeless and so helpless, such worms of the dust. But when it's revealed unto us who He is, that God in His love, why God would want to save a sinner like you and I, I'll never know. I'll never know. Eternity alone knows. And maybe it'll reveal it to us in the by and by, and maybe not. But why God would want to save, we add nothing to His glory. We share in His glory, but we don't add anything to it. We don't add anything to the happiness of God. God was happy in Himself. We share in His happiness. You see, what I'm saying is this. If we're ever saved, it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. He didn't need to save us. He didn't need us. He still doesn't need us. He bypassed the angels, and they were more fit, qualified objects to be redeemed than you and I were. But He passed them by and didn't save them. Well, here in this 16th verse of the 7th chapter, it says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, as God commanded him, Noah, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut Noah in the ark. That is not to say He didn't shut the other seven in with Him or the animals, the clean and the unclean. He shut them all in. But here it says He shut him in. The Lord shut him in. What does that mean? Well, it means this to me. It means that mercy's gate was shut. And the time of God's long suffering was over with. That's what it means to me. The door was shut. God saw the wickedness of this earth was so great. It was a stench to the nostrils of God Almighty. And He said, it's enough. Violence has filled the earth. The earth is corrupt. It's enough. I will destroy man that I'll destroy him. Every one of them. Everything that moves and wiggles and crawls and runs and flies off. Destroy. And that's what God's going to do one day. One day this earth, the leaven is going to fill the mass. And God says it's going to be enough. I'll destroy it. I'm coming. When He comes, if a man's not in the place of safety, it's too bad. That is, relative to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, or relative to death. If he doesn't have a place of safety and security, If he doesn't have a place that will of refuge that will bear him up when the cup of God's eternal wrath is poured out, he's in a bad way. The Lord shut him in. To me, it means that mercy's gate is shut. The time of God's long suffering had come to a close, had come to an end. And the Bible says, He that openeth and no man can shut. That's the Lord Jesus. He has the what? He has the keys of hell and death in his hand. And he can open and he can shut. And when he shuts, no man can open. And when he opens, no man can shut. God shut him in. The time of God's long suffering had come to a close, and there was a barrier between those on the inside and those on the outside, and it was an impossibility for either to cross. There's a great gulf fixed. That's what it says there. It talks about that rich man died, the rich man and the poor, the rich man and the beggar, they died. It said one of them wound up in hell, and one of them wound up in the lap of Father Abraham. Angels carried him to where Father Abraham was. And that rich man was in torment. He was cast out. He was shut out. Shut out of the place of rest. Shut out of comfort. Shut out of hope. Shut out of mercy. Not only all of that, but he said, I can't stand it over here. It's too much for me. He said, I torment. Now, where the worm dieth not, that worm that burns, that worm that turns, that worm that agonizes and gnaws. He said, I can't stand it. He said, send that beggar. Send that beggar, Father Abraham, over here. Abraham wouldn't do it. But he said, you can't come where I'm at. He said, there's a great gulf fixed and you can't come over. When God shut Noah in, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a barrier between them on the inside and them on the outside. Those on the outside couldn't come in and those on the inside couldn't come out. Why? Because God shut the door. I'm telling you, when God shuts the door, that's it. God may shut the door on me. He may shut the door on some here tonight. I don't know. He said, my flesh will not always strive with me. He said, I read that to you this morning. 120 years, he said. Noah preached for 120 years. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. At the end of the 120 years, he said, no more. Mercy's gate is closed. I'll pass you by. Well, great gulf is fixed. Can't pass over. Shut in. Who shut him in? God shut him in. Let me read something to you in 2 Peter, I believe it is. Turn over there with me. Let's look at that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse... Chapter 6. Did I say 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 2. Look down here at verse 4. Look at this. Now it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This is what God did. He didn't spare them. He could have spared them had it pleased him, but he didn't spare them. Verse 5. It said, and spared not the old world. Who spared not the old world? God did not spare the old. It was God. Listen. But God spared Noah. But God, who saved Noah? Who shut Noah in? God saved him. If I'm ever saved, you're ever saved, it'll be God that does it. The salvation that brings a man peace and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ is a salvation that God does. When God saves a sinner, he saves him all over. We see people, you wonder sometimes, you say, well, a fellow made a profession of faith and he claimed God saved him, but I can't see no change in his life, and you can't get him to come to church. You can't get him to do this. You can't get him to do that. God never saved him. When God saves a man, he saves him all over. If any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. When God does it. When the preacher does it, doesn't amount to anything. When the preacher saves men, it doesn't amount to anything. They're saved for a little while and they fall away. Or you have to put up with them for year in and year out, year in and year out. You've got to baby them around, put up with them, try to get them to come in here, and try to get them to serve, and try to get them to read the Bible, and try to get them to pray, try to get them to act right, try to get them to live right. But when God saves them, I'll tell you, like old Barnard said, that little dog Rover, when that dog died, he died all over. And when God saves a man, He saves him all over, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He didn't half save him. God saved Noah. It was God did it. If there's any argument about this, put the finger on God. He did it. God spared Noah. God saved Noah. The eighth person, what was Noah? He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of who? The world of the ungodly. Who did it? God did it. God shut him in. And if we're saved this evening, it's because God did it. He saved us. He chose us. He chose us. Back sometime in eternity past, God chose us. Here in time, the Lord Jesus Christ, born under the law, lived under the law, honored the law, magnified the law, satisfied the law, give himself as a living sacrifice for our sins, was dead, died, and rose again, and ever lives on God's right hand. For who? For those that God gave him before time ever was. Only those that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be the recipient of what Christ did. I don't know who they are. I don't know. Only God knows. But I know that God did it all. I know that I didn't have no part in it, and I know that you didn't have no part in it. You say, well, I believe. You believe because God prevailed upon you and enabled you to believe. When I say believe, that means faith. You say, I exercise faith. The reason you exercise faith is because God gave you that faith. He enabled you to look upon the Lord Jesus. You have nothing to do with it. You were passive in this thing. You didn't have a single solitary thing to do with it. It was all of God. That's the reason that God has to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And a salvation that does not give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise is not the salvation of this book. It's not it. And I wouldn't walk across the street to hear someone talk about it. Noah was shut in. That's what it says. The Lord shut him in. Well, it also says this. Maybe not in these words, but this is the implication. This is the fact. Noah was shut in, but the majority was shut out. God shut Noah in, but when God shut Noah in, He shut the majority of the human race out. The same hand that shut Noah in, shut them out. Is that too hard? The same hand that shut the door, Noah and the seven souls and the two by twos inside, the same hand that shut the door, that shut them in, shut them out. God shut them out. God shut them out. All right, just let me mention a few things. Who were they? Who were these people that God shut out? Well, I went over a list of things this morning about the rich and the learned, the illiterate, the beggars, and the doctors and the rabbis and those religious people and what have you. Who were these people? They were a people that had been preached to. These people that were shut out multiplied millions and millions and millions of people. They were shut out, but they were not shut out without being preached to. Noah preached for 120 years. I read to you there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where it says that Noah, God saved Noah, a what? A preacher of righteousness. He preached the righteousness of God. That's what he preached. He preached that God requires and demands an absolute, spotless, perfect, immaculate righteousness. And that righteousness can only be found in another. And God freely gives it to every man who repents and believes. Noah preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. Who were these people? Well, these people were people that had been preached to. They'd been preached to day in and day out, day in and day out. They'd been preached to. Old Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and I believe with all my heart he fulfilled his office well. The people of Noah's generation were not left to perish without light. They heard the Word of God day in and day out, day in and day out for 120 years. They heard the same man preach for 120 years. Who was that man? Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Not Noah, a teller of tales. Not Noah, a healer. Not Noah, a magician. Not a man of the television. Not a huckster. Not someone trying to get in your pocketbook. But a man who was loyal and faithful unto God. And God said he was a preacher of righteousness. Say that about Noah. And he fulfilled his office, and they heard the Word of God. And they heard the gospel preached unto them by the same man for 120 years. Who were they? I believe there were a people that were prayed for. They were prayed for. Noah was a man of prayer. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ezekiel, in the 14th chapter, in about the 14th verse, and then verse number 20 of the same chapter, mentions three notable men. And Noah's one of them. And they were known because they were great intercessors. That was Daniel and Job and Noah. And God would not have placed Noah in company with these great intercessors if Noah had not been a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer who believed in prayer and prayed. So these people were a people that were preached to. They were a people that was prayed for. These people. They were a people that, some of them, and I mentioned this morning, they were a people, some of them, that had been employed by Noah. They worked for Noah. They cut the trees down. They cut the trees down that built the ark. They sawed the lumber. They made the boards. They made the keel. They drove the bolts. They fashioned the cables. Whatever was needful and necessary, they did. They built the nest or the rooms in the ark. They got the pitch. They pitched it within and pitched it without. They built the ark. A great number of these men. Some worked a while and some moved on to another job. Some worked for 120 years. Some died. There's a whole lot of people involved in building that ark. That's a sad thing, wasn't it? That people who helped build the ark, who cut the trees down, who hauled them in, and they was locked out, shut out, lost forever. Think of it. Men who had contributed. Maybe there was some free labor there. Probably was. Probably some volunteered. Said, well, I'll help you. No, I don't have anything to do. Anything I can do today? I'd be glad to volunteer my help. Shut out. What happened to them? They shut out. They're lost. They perished in the angry flood of God's water. No part in the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes me sad, too, to think of the many religious workers, many people that's involved in religion today that contribute in religion, do something for God, do something under the auspices or under the banner of religion. Shut out. There's thousands and thousands of people that's just chomping at the bits to do something for God in religion. They're hiding in the religion. They're in the caves of religion. In the caves of ritual and ceremony. This morning we baptized. I noticed upon the pole as I came out of up the road there from the baptismal waters. Singing revival. This group, that group, this group, that group. They'll all appear to have a singing revival. Going to sing the gospel. There'll be no gospel sung. Mark it down. Mark it down. There'll be no gospel sung and there'll be no gospel preached. They're religious. Those people are religious. They're doing something for God. They're doing something for the young people. They're doing something for the old people. They're doing something for God. They're contributing. They're making an effort. They're building the ark. But bless God, if they don't get on the ark, they're going to be lost. That's a fact. Who are these people? Well, there's people that built the ark, helped build it. No part in Christ. There's like the religious workers of ours. Who are these people? These were people that had seen great wonders. Boy, they seen something that no one's seen before since, these people. What did they see, preacher? Well, half of the world must have gathered to see those camels and elephants and eagles and peacocks and snails and worms come crawling and running and flying and creeping and crawling 2 by 2 in that ark. What a spectacle. What a sight. What a sight! Here comes the elephants, 2 by 2. Here comes the camel, here comes the lion, here comes the leopards. Here comes the snails, here comes the eagles, here comes the seagulls, 2 by 2. What a spectacle. And there they were, sitting there watching all that. Watching it. Look at them elephants. You hear them talking? Look at them elephants. Well, they're just walking right up there side by side. Look like they're... But there's kind of a pair. They must be mates. Oh, yes, one's a male and one's a female. Wow, look at that. Look at the zebras. Well, look at the lion. Look at that big eagle. Look at them two big eagles swooping down, flying, flying right in that door. Look at them. Oh, these were people that had seen great wonders. Oh, if I could just see, people say, oh, if I just see a sign. I'm looking for a sign. I'd believe if I had a sign. I'd believe. Why, if someone would just, well, if I could just see a vision out yonder in the sky there, I believe I'd become a Christian. I'd just bow down if I could see a vision. No, you wouldn't. People wouldn't. Make it ever what they see. Why, Abraham told that rich man, that rich man was in hell. He said, well, I got some brothers. He said, send that beggar back and let him tell my brothers to avoid this place at any cost. Avoid it! And Father Abraham said, well, they got Moses and the prophets. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't hear one if he's raised from the dead. They wouldn't hear. And a man wouldn't believe if he seen a full-fledged picture in the sky, he wouldn't believe. Just make an idol out of it. I was reading a Newsweek magazine, I believe it was, this week. Down in Miami, Florida, there's a big tree down there and certain part of Miami, I think it was Miami. Great big tree there, and all limbs been cut off, and some fellow went out there and he had cataracts on his eyes, an old man, 92 years old, and there's some water oozing out of that tree, and he went over and he got that, put his finger in that water and rubbed it on his eyes, and he said he could see. It's a miracle. And hundreds of those Latin America people crowded around there, and they were saying the rosary, and they was reaching in trying to get some of that water, and they scraped bark off of that tree. And the reporter said, these people, he said, they've just gone crazy. He said, they're worshiping this tree, this idol. And that's what men would do. God's not in it. Give them something they can see, and they'll bow down to it. Make us a god. Make us a god. Give us some of that water from that tree. Ah, this was a sight. Boy, they seen some wonders. They seen some wonders. But I'll tell you what. Old Noah didn't see anything. That is, in regard to the flood or anything, he didn't see it. But he believed what God said. It says in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it said, and Noah, being warned, moved with fear, built an ark. By faith Noah did it. He couldn't see it. He just believed it. God told him, build an ark. He didn't know anything about the flood other than what God told him. He couldn't see it. It was yet in the future. He couldn't see the unseen, but he believed it. By faith he believed. I can't see it either. I can't see anything that I've talked about here. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen Him. Never seen Him. No, sir. Visibly, if He walked in here right now, I wouldn't know Him. I've never, my eyes never laid, never looked upon Him. Only by faith. I believe. God help my unbelief. I believe that Jesus Christ died to save sinners in whom I am chief. Visibly, if He walked in here right now, I wouldn't know Him. I've never, my eyes never laid, never looked upon Him. Only by faith. I believe. God help my unbelief. I believe that Jesus Christ died to save sinners in whom I am chief. And all that's in that is cast upon Him. My eternal soul is cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love Him because He first loved me. And I've never seen Him by the eye. Well, who were these people? And what did they do? Turn with me over there to that book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, wasn't it, I believe. Look what these people did. Who were these people? What did they do? Here's what they done. Was that Luke guy's original? Matthew 1. Look at Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Down there about the 37th verse. I want you to notice what they did. Here's what they did. They ate, and they drank, and they married, and they did. Here's what they did. Of mercy is shut. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, this is what they were doing now, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day, right up until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, not anything wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's not anything wrong with that. But if your whole life is taken up with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage to the exclusion of God Almighty, then it's wrong. And that's what's wrong with the world today. Everybody's taken up with their own thing. Every man lives as if God did not exist, as if there was no eternity, as if they evolved from some snake and they're going to die and stand before nobody or nothing in eternity to come. Indifferent, don't care. Eating and drinking, right up to living in an age of indifference and unconcern and ungodliness right up until the very day that God said to Noah, come thou and your sons and daughters and come on in the ark. And when he entered into the ark, they quit. Listen, until that day that Noah entered into the ark, verse 39, and knew not. These people knew not until the flood came and swept them all away. Ah, my soul. Altogether taken up with this world. Like most people in our generation, they live as if this life was all there was. Worried. In fact, well, I could. Well, why don't you come to church and visit with us? Well, I can't. I got to work today.
Well, you know that inflation, we've got to have enough to go on. I got to work. My wife's working, I'm working, and the kids sell newspapers, and we don't have enough money to make it. We just haven't got time for church. We haven't got time. We haven't got time for God. That's what they're saying. That's what men are saying. We haven't got time for God. That's what men of this world, but it's a sorry thing when men who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ say the same thing, isn't it? That's when it's sad, when they say, I ain't got time. Ain't got time. A lady told me here recently, I said, well, what about those folks? I said, do they go to church anywhere? And she said, no, I said, they don't go. And I said, do they have any children? They said, yeah, I have a little three-year-old girl, but she said, I don't think she likes you. And I said, well, why would she not like me? Well, I said, she'd been listening to somebody, to her parents or somebody. Said, I told her one time, I said, well, why don't you get ready on Sunday morning, I'll come and get you and take you to church. You can hear the preacher. And she said, no, I better not. Said, they tell me if you start going to church up there, the preacher makes you keep coming. And said, I don't know whether I want to keep going or not. Someone's misunderstood what I've said, because I emphasize that people ought to come to church and hear the Word of God. Because that's what will do you good. You see, I got a reputation for being mean. Being mean. But doctors don't have a reputation for being mean when they want men to take medicine. They say he's a good doctor. He's a good doctor. Said, well, he operated on me and my innards was about ate up, and he done this and he done that and sewed me back up. And boy, I'm like a new man. He's the greatest doctor ever was. If you ever get sick, go to this doctor. But the preacher comes along and preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and declares it in boldness without fear or favor of any man. And even some of his church members whispered, said, well, he mean, that the preacher's mean. He wants you to come to church all the time. Bless God, I do. I want you to come to church every time the door's open. I want you to be here. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to forego any pleasure. I want you to give yourself unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that asking too much? To give yourself to Him who gave His all for you? I don't think it's asking too much. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. Say, well, you wouldn't preach if you wasn't paid. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, I'd pay you. So let me preach to you. Well, that's neither here nor there. I'm just trying to emphasize the fact of these people. What became of them? Well, we notice what they did, who they were, and what they did. What became of them? Turn back over there to the 7th chapter, the book of Genesis. I'm going to show you what happened to these people. I'm going to show you what happened to everybody who lives as though God did not exist, who wants to do their own thing, who says, I don't care, I'm going to do this, come hell or high water, I'm going to have my way, I'm not going to bow, I want to do this and I want to do that. Now you can have your Bible and your religion and do what you want to, but I got mine and I'll take my chances. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to those people. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to every man who's not found in Christ. Paul, let me read something to you real quick. Well, Paul said this. He said, I want to be found, not having a righteousness which is of the law, but I want to be found in that righteousness which is by faith, that righteousness that's in Christ. I want to be found in that righteousness. I haven't got no righteousness. I need one. I need a righteousness. I need to be as righteous as God is righteous, and I can't produce it. I haven't got it. Where will I get it? Get it from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who satisfied the law, magnified the law, paid the penalty for the demands that the law made upon me. Get it from Him. Come to Christ. You get everything that you need in Christ. It's all there in the ark. It's all in the ark. Come to Christ. That's where I'm going. I'm going to fly to Him, flee to Him, creep to Him, crawl to Him, but I'm going to get to Him. I'm going to get to Christ, because that's where it's at. Well, what became of these people? in the seventh chapter, in the seventh chapter of the book of Genesis, look at that 21st verse. Well, it says the waters prevailed exceedingly, 19th verse. Waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upper, that's 27 feet over the highest mountain. That's how high the water went. 27 feet over the highest mountain. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And what happened to these people who said, we'll have it, we'll do it our way? Preacher, you can have your religion. You're too mean. I don't like this. I don't like that. You say that God chose a people before time ever was. You say God will reject my good works. You say that if you ever saved, it's salvation by grace. You can have your religion, preacher. I don't want it. You can have. Well, all right. And all flesh died. That's what happened to them. All flesh died. Listen, that moved upon the earth. Both of the fowl and the cattle and of the beast and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth and every man. All died in the flood and all went to hell. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life and all that was in the dry land died. They all died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, the creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, and they that were destroyed, they were destroyed from the earth and all the land. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Oh, my. What if someone, what if an angel said to me here? What if he just whispered in my ear and said, now, all your hearers will be saved except one. All of them going to be saved except one. Now, what we want you to do is run your eye out there and you pick out the one. Mark out that man or woman or boy or girl that's going to be lost. We'll put that responsibility upon you. You do that. Well, now look out. Look from the left to the right and the right to the left. My eye upon every face. What'll I do? Which one? Which one? Which one? Finally, I say, Lord, don't put this responsibility on me. It's too great for me. Lord, spare them all. Lord, spare them all. Save them all, Lord. Save every one of them. Let everyone under the sound of my voice, every hear, Lord, let them become the recipient of life. Lord, save them all. But listen, some of you will do for yourself what I won't do. You'll do for yourself what I won't do. I won't make that choice. I won't mark anybody out for doom, but you'll do it. You'll do what I want. Because you'll count yourself unworthy of life and you won't enter into the ark. There's room. There's room in the ark. The ark is 450 feet long. It was as long as a football field and almost as long again as a football field. And 75 foot wide. And there was rooms in that ark. Rooms in the ark. There was nests in the ark. They all didn't sleep together, stay together. There's no rooms for them. There's room for everybody to come in the ark. Wanted to be saved. There's room. Listen, God made a feast one time. And he said, now listen, he said, I'm making a feast here for my son. Making a feast. He said, go out into the highways and byways and command them, compel them to come in. They come back and they said, Lord, they won't come. They won't come. We told them. We invited them. We told them our Lord's made a feast. Everything that's needful to satisfy your hunger's on the table. Come in, my master said. They said, Lord, we will not come. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do something else and it won't come. Our Lord said, now somebody's going to come. He said, you go out into the highways and byways, and he said, you go to the maimed and the poor and the meek and go to them and bring them in. And he went out and did that, and he come back, and he said, Lord, we did as you commanded us. And you know what he said then? He said, and yet there's room. And yet there's room. There's still room. There's room in the ark. There's room in Christ for every man will come. There's room, Bob. His room. Well, I remember a story one time. I heard about this fella, old Christian, old saint of God, and he believed what we believe, the righteousness of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was his only hope. Wasn't trusting in his works, wasn't trusting in what he could do or what he couldn't do, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, trusting in the imputed righteousness. His eye rested in Christ. And the fellow said, well, now what if when you die, and when you go to heaven, or you go up there and stand before God in judgment, you find out that this thing's wrong? That you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you get up there, God's going to say, well, no, that's not it. And he turns you away. And he said, boy, it'll be a loss, won't it? And the old fellow said this. He said, his loss will be greater than mine. Because he'll lose his honor, he'll lose his truthfulness, and he'll lose his faithfulness. Huh? God's honor and God's truth and God's faithfulness is what he'll lose. So his loss will be greater than mine. Noah went into the ark. Noah went into the ark. Was he preserved? Was he safe in that ark? You bet your bottom dollar he was safe. He was safe as God could make him safe. Just made one window in that ark. And that window was up here. Couldn't see outside. They couldn't see the storms and the winds and the waters. They could hear it, maybe. They could hear the moans of those dying souls, but they couldn't see them. There's a wind up there. And wherever you was in that ark, make any difference where you, if you got any lights, you got it through that window. Okay. If you was way in the far end of the ark, if you got any light at all, you got it from that window because that was the only place there was any light. But y'all looked up. There's looking up. Wasn't looking out, looking up. And it's all safe in that ark, every one of them. Listen, God shut him in. Noah didn't shut himself in. If Noah had shut himself in, he might have opened the door and went back out. And that's the reason a lot of folks... I never did have any problem with this thing, this business, one saved, always saved. I never did have any problem with that. Some people got some problem with it. And I'm not being critical and saying that they're not saved because they got a problem. But I just never had any problems with it. Never since I was saved did I ever have any problems about this fact that one saved, always saved. Never had no problems. But I think the majority of people that got problems with this business of once in grace, always in grace, or once in Christ, always in Christ, I think the problem is that when they went in the ark, they shut the door. When they got saved, they saved themselves. And if it was up to you to shut the door, then you can open it up again. If you saved yourself, you can unsave yourself. But I'll tell you, if God does it, it's permanent. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's an eternal salvation. I'm going to tell you this about them fellas in the ark. Not a one of them jumped out. No, sir. Not a one of them built a ladder up that window and said, I'm going to jump out. I hear that fellow from down at Reverend Powell. Every once in a while I hear him on the radio take off about this once in grace, once saved, always saved. And he'd go on and he'd say, I know the scriptures say that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he'd name them all off, but he said, you can separate yourself. He said, death can't do it, and this can't do it, and that can't do it, but said, you can do it. You can do it. You can get up on the rock of ages and you can jump off. You can be in Christ's hands and pull yourself out. Who wants to? Who was ever on the rock of ages wanted to jump out? Who was ever in the ark that wanted to jump out? You couldn't have dragged old Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and Mrs. Noah and the two daughters in it. You couldn't have dragged them from that ark. They were safe in the ark. Safe in the ark with God and with another one, with another, and they had all the provisions and everything that they needed. They were safe. They didn't jump out and they couldn't be dragged out. They was preserved in that ark. You have to get in Christ, Bob. Get in Christ, we're saved. I bid you. Oh, well, you know. This is the way it is. Folks, the world's lost, your neighbor's lost, some of your children's lost, and people you work with, they're lost, and we kind of hedge around. We don't want to tell them, you know. Listen, if you don't tell them, Oh, Noah told them. Noah told them. They said, Noah, you're crazy. They said, he's a zealous old man. A zealous old man. He's harebrained. He's senile. He's senile. He just lived too long. He was 600 and some years old. Then he died when he was 950 years old. They said, that man's crazy. Been here too long. Going around telling people if they don't get in the ark, if they don't get in this ark he's building, they're going to die and be lost. I wish we could shut him up. That's all he talks about. He is concerned about him. We better get concerned about some folks and tell him. Get on the ark. If you don't get on the ark, flood's going to get you. It'll find your cave. It'll find your hiding place. It'll snuff the life out of you. Better get on the ark. Highest is the ark. Christ is the door. You better enter in. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Lord help us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Pray for us, Bob, if you will.